Blog Talk Radio.
Regulators. We regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. You gotta be handy with the steal, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of The Betting Window on the Nerd Report Network. I'm your host, Effin Ronnie, and with me, as always,
the Zombie Master.
And?
Captain Stuntcock himself. What's up, motherfuckers?
You know, shitty pay-per-views, shitty movies, shitty playoffs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Shitty shit.
Shitty umpiring.
Shitty bang bang.
Shitty umpires in the NFL calling defensive holding.
Oh yeah, I can't wait for Christian to come on for that because I got to get his take on that. I'll ask your opinion now. Could the Jets have won that game if they that?
Oh yeah, they could have won that game. Then there's no pleasing you, Mr. Powers.
Kenny Powers, he's bounded down.
If you're not first, you're last, because God forbid we need a fucking another a NASCAR with Wonder Bread on the side of it.
This
a
decal,
what?
Dangerous.
Dude, you know that's a thing, right? That last week, they had both
Wonder
both
Bread
cars,
and Old
yep, contract. Yep, we're in Talladega.
Let the invisible fire burn, my friend.
I'm on fire.
I still do not like that. As much as that movie's quotable, I do not like that movie.
I've never watched. Wasn't there a second one to that?
No.
Talladega Nights was a one and done.
Thank God.
Well, I'm thinking of Anchorman.
Anchorman. The only good thing about Anchorman 2 is the fucking fight scene.
That escalated quickly.
It had its moments.
Wow, they got really saturated all of a sudden. Is that the ghost of Stonewall Jackson? Seriously, is anyone not seeing this? That is like, I saw that movie in theaters, and I was like, this movie sucks. Then it got to the fight scene, I'm like, all right, this is fucking hilarious now. Like, this saved the movie.
I had a movie like that. And it was Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Dewey Cox.
Saw it in theaters and fucking hated the theater-rated version. The unrated version comes out on fucking DVD. It is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Yeah. All right.
Probably the most perverted song ever written. But duet.
All right.
They're back in the thing again.
Oh, well.
Goddamn.
So, all right. So, quick updates while we're recording. We do have games going on and games that have finished in the Major League playoffs. Two teams have advanced, and they will be Texas beating Tampa and Minnesota beats Toronto. So, Minnesota will be playing the 2 seed and Texas will be playing the 1. So, Minnesota plays Houston and Texas plays... believe who got the 1 seed?
I think wasn't that
Baltimore.
That's what I was saying. Baltimore was the number 1 seed because they had the best record, I think.
Yep. And in the bottom of the 5th, it's 2-1 Milwaukee. Arizona's up 1-0. So if Arizona wins, they close out and they would probably go against the LA. And then the Phillies are 0-0 against Miami, but there is a runner in scoring position, and they would play Hotlanta.
can't just say I love the Orioles in the first place, and their town is, you know, Baltimore celebrating a black and orange October, just like they should.
There you go.
I mean, the fact that they would play Atlanta or they would have L.A., Philly can make a run. They really could.
I just, you know, I mean, you really think they're going to – I mean, all right, let's say Philly does advance, but will they be able to beat the juggernaut that is Atlanta?
I mean, they've seen them more than anybody else. And this is exactly what happened last year. And you know as well as anybody, series games are completely different. Completely different than, what's it called? Than regular season. You know that.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you're not wrong, but it's just like, I mean, did you hear the comments that Spencer Strider came out with a couple of weeks ago?
No.
I got to see if I could find it. I don't want to say it until I could find the thing, but he said something that I thought was a little kind of silly, but I got to try to find it, find the article again.
I mean, it can't be as bad as what the players from the New York frickin' Giants said today. We'll get to that when Christian gets on, because Christian needs to hear this too. Flipping burgers, my fat ass.
Flipping burgers?
I'll explain later.
Please do, because it's awful confusing.
But, all right, so Spencer Strider wishing the fans weren't allowed at MLB games?
Yeah, I think that was what it was. It's like,
okay, that's interesting.
You're like, where the fuck? That I couldn't think of what it was. I knew what it was, but I didn't want to say the wrong thing. Yeah, it's like he doesn't fans. I'm like, well, gee, if the fans don't come to the games, that means they don't buy tickets. That means the ownership doesn't make money, which means you don't make money. So how does that make sense?
Interview with MLB Fitz. Strider Bowley says there should be no fans at games. Absolutely, there should be no fans. 2020 season, no fans. Get rid of the fans. Strider said, it's too loud. Everyone be quiet. We don't need the cheering. We know you're watching. I don't need the fans. Stay outside the stadium. Back it up. Let's do, like, it's no lower bowl thing. Upper deck's great. Outfield phenomenal, but we don't need people around the bullpens. Just try to stay quiet, Randy Strider.
Now, what's your take on that?
The context of this is weird.
I just think if there was no fans, then guess what? You know, you're not going to make any money.
But you know what the problem is, though, is how many people get these lower bowl tickets and heckle the living shit out of people and, like, use, other than being loud, say some bad shit.
Well,
now that goes, but then that also goes to the whole, well, they bought a ticket argument.
Right.
That we've always had.
Right.
I don't know. You're getting paid millions of dollars. Shut up.
Yeah, shut up and do what you think. What do you think, Rye?
I mean, yeah, suck it up. Do your job.
It seems like every year something comes from this. Someone put on a Twitter post, so you're telling me he needs to be traded to Oakland?
I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, right? Well, yeah, okay.
Go to Oakland. Don't worry. You won't have to worry about any fans because there's nobody coming to see the games anyway.
The two people up in the upper deck are more entertaining than the Oakland A's.
I still can't believe they showed that. Well, that kind of emphasizes the Oakland A's as a ballpark, as a
it shows
as
every
a franchise.
Reason, it shows every reason why they want to go to Vegas.
so they can fuck for free.
No. Vegas, they got to pay for that shit. But at least they're making the stadium smaller. Like, they're making the seats smaller.
So then you have to get a smaller check to go up there and bang.
No. I mean, like, they're lowering the attendance. Like, it's one of the few stadiums that they're building that's not going to seat, that's, like, going to seat, like close to 25,000.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean...
No, I mean, remember that the original Oakland, if you remember the OG Oakland, when Oakland was there, how close the fans were to the field.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly when they built... Ricky Henderson Field or whatever the hell it's called.
You were on top of the fucking field.
Yeah, well, now it's like you're so, I mean, where the dugouts are opposed to where the lines are, I mean, it's like, what, a couple feet, a couple good feet away?
Yeah, the black hole was right on top of your ass.
Right.
All right, quick things. Machado got elbow surgery.
What, Manny?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, he'll be back. He'll be back.
What is it? Underwent exterior tendon repair surgery on his right elbow. Recovery is 4 to 6 months.
So he might be back. He'll probably be back May.
He'll be back before, yeah, like first month of the season, he'll be out.
Yeah, he'll probably be out the month of April. He'll be back in May.
The Tampa Bay Rays. This is the reason they got to fucking leave. The shortest non-pandemic playoff crowd since 1919. And if you want to know why since 1919, it's because there was a fucking war.
Yeah, World War I, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, plus the Spanish flu outbreak in the 1920s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The crowd was announced for game one, a mismal 19,704 spectators were inside the trop for a playoff game.
Well, you know what? That's probably a combination of a couple of things. They're probably – that franchise with the whole Wander Franco shit took a hit, and that's probably why a lot of people are staying away.
The team still was in the playoffs. Usually you would at least hit 25. You would have 75% of those seats filled for playoff games no matter what. Or, sorry, you would have 75% of those tickets sold. They didn't have the that's tickets that were sold and came in.
Yeah, I saw a thing on MLB Network the other day about the Tampa Bay Rays. It's like I think their entire pitching staff at one point was almost – at one time there's only like one starter and the rest were all out. With injuries. But they still managed to make the playoffs. God only knows how. Don't know
well,
how.
They know how. They know how their farm system. They have one of the best fucking farm systems.
Well, it didn't do very well. It didn't, obviously didn't do well enough for them to advance them in the fucking playoffs.
I mean, you think about it, though. The team does not get backing. The stadium in St. Peter's has never been good.
What, Tropicana Field?
Yeah. And they're trying to move.
To where?
Here we go. Team announces plans for a new domed ballpark surrounding village in downtown St. Petersburg.
Oh, so they're going to stay in Florida.
I don't know why.
Move them to fucking call them the Montreal Rays.
Well, fuck that. Just take the name, flip it back, and call them the Expos.
I'd love to see the Expos come back.
Yeah.
What, Rye?
The Expos coming back and be all right with that.
Yeah. The way the stadium looks from just screenshots, it's going to be in the middle of – it's going to be like almost how like – Boston is with Fenway.
Right.
is just going to be in the middle of the, it's going to be in the middle of a town and there's shops surrounding it, and it's going to be, they're trying to make it more of an experience.
Like, kind of like a, kind of like that stupid American Dream thing we have here in Jersey.
Yeah, get it right. Xanadu.
What the fuck ever? It's called the American Dream. Fuck that shit.
And, like, it's a square ballpark.
Square ballpark?
So, yeah, the stadium looks like it's going to be a fucking box. And there's going to be, like, a fucking a moat surrounding it. What the fuck?
Come into the box.
Listen, this would work if it was in Minnesota.
You know what? I miss the Homer Dome in Minnesota, man.
But it looks like from what the overhead looks like, dome ballpark, sides are going to be open.
What do you mean the sides are going to be open? Is it going to be like Arizona?
Yeah, kind of, but it's not retractable. It's a strict dome. But the sides, like how Indianapolis has their football field, like the sides like that, is going to be a fresh air ballpark.
Huh.
Which screams to me, oh, they're going to fuck you with the wind.
Yeah, it'll be like a wind tunnel in there.
Oh, we're hitting? Open up these windows. Oh, they're pitching? Open up these windows. And then it looks like it's going to be surrounded by like three or four hotels.
Oh, attached to the ballpark or near the ballpark?
Like literally right across the street.
Oh, okay.
Those are expensive rooms, and God forbid a fucking home run ball makes it.
They won't make it out of the stadium. If it makes it out of the stadium, I'll be impressed. In the back, I wish I could see more of the back, because it looks like the back is going to have like a fucking stingray aquarium.
Kind of like how the Marlins had it.
Well, the Tampa has stingrays in their facility.
I heard that, yeah.
Hello, Christian.
What's
up? Nothing. Okay. Talking about the shitty playoffs and the
mm-hmm. Yeah, with emphasis on shitty.
I mean, Philly looks like the best team right now out of the entire wild card.
You think so?
Oh, after last night, after how Wheeler pitched? Yeah.
Old Zipper.
I think Philly could do it again.
Who's going to
get?
Who's
yeah,
out?
I think they can beat Atlanta.
Yeah, but who's going in? Who went tonight for Philly? Was it Nola?
Nola. And he's already pitched through two. No, one hit.
I'd say that bitch is pitching for a contract because he's a free agent now.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
He's pitching for a contract. That's what he's doing.
I mean, last night, though, Nola went, like, gangbusters.
I mean, Wheeler.
Wheeler. Sorry. Wheeler went freaking nuts. Freaking Wheeler, 6 2/3, 5 hits, one earned, 8 Ks.
Well, let me put it this way. Wheeler was never a bad pitcher when he was with the Mets. He just had rotten. He didn't have run support. That was the only problem with him, and that's probably the reason why he left.
But you also want to know why I think Philly is going to do what they are going to be what they do. Their bottom of the rotation scores runs,
right.
Or their bottom of their batting order
yeah,
scores runs.
Like 6, 7, 8, 9 are red producers.
They scored 3 out of 4 last night. Like. Bohm got one, Scott got one, and Paella got one. And then
right.
Castellano got the insurance run. But we were just also talking about how, you want to talk about shitty, how shitty the attendance has been for Tampa Bay. 19, 19,704
for a playoff game.
Yeah, that's just embarrassing. What was the attendance for today?
I don't know.
No, I'm just saying. I can't look it up. 20,000.
Oh, boy, they broke the 20,000 mark. Woo-hoo!
By 198, by 200 fans.
Maybe they just kept the people in there from last night and said, fuck it, you're staying overnight.
Texas smoked them 7-1.
Well, not a surprise there.
No. Christian, who do you got?
What, winning the whole thing?
Yeah.
Ain't nobody care. You know I don't give a damn.
Enlighten me.
Okay. I don't give a damn.
So, an earthquake.
Anybody but Houston.
Okay, there you go.
Me, it's anybody but Philly.
I was going to say, John's nightmare fuel right now would be Houston versus Philly in the World Series.
Oh, God.
Yes. I think that's American nightmare fuel.
Yeah, right.
You know what? I'll take Houston to win the whole thing after that, because, God forbid, the one thing that's worse about listening to Houston win it all is listening to the Philly fans win it all.
Nah, I don't see a team beating Atlanta.
Are you talking like a team strong 95?
I mean, look, they have power. They hit from back.
They have grace. They can kick your ass all over the place.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Acuna played at another level, and someone tried to bullshit my intelligence a couple of months ago because someone in my sports group had put up a post about Acuna, you know, with the home runs and the stolen bases, and I'm like, MVP. And someone's like, oh, here you go. I'm like, no, you dumb fuck. They give out two MVPs, one for the AL and one for the NL.
And in all honesty, listen, I'll say this, and I'll back this. Acuna's NL, correct. He's the MVP of the entire league this year.
I agree. I think he's the kind
because
of
Shohei game. Because Shohei got hurt, he would have caught Shohei if it was a one award league.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because he did something that you haven't seen. Yes, okay, granted. With the bigger bases and stuff like that, you might have something different. But he did something that hasn't been done in almost 40 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Maybe I'll tune in here and there, but, you know, I'm just being bitter.
I mean, like I said, I actually enjoyed the Philly game last night. And one of the Nerdport guys were there, paid $160 for section 100 seats.
Oh, damn.
That's not bad.
No.
I saw the pictures where he was sitting. And he was under the overhang. And he had a perfect shot and an unobstructed view of the fucking field, man.
I don't know if he got GA tickets and that's where he was just there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, but still, $160.
You talking general admission tickets?
Yeah. Maybe he got GA tickets and he just got lucky and he found that seat. But, like, still, $160 to get into a playoff game is pretty fucking cheap.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah,
especially
baseball's been kind of the talk, you know, with everything that happened on Sunday with Tim Wakefield. I don't know if you guys talked.
Well, we're about to talk about that.
We're about that, yeah. And then
I'm gonna let you have your fun because I got kind of a bone to pick with that too.
Oh, and I got a couple bones to pick too. So we'll take care of this one first.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, like Major League Baseball's just gonna be there. John, who do you have winning it all? Right now, who do you think?
Give me the rundown of who's in it. I don't really know.
So right now, that have advanced, Texas will be playing
Baltimore,
and Minnesota will be playing Houston. And if the Arizona Diamondbacks, that's up right now 3-2, win, they will go against LA.
Say it right.
L.A.
And if Philly's up 2-0 right now, they'll go against Atlanta.
Jesus, the NL is stacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I could see both those matchups going five.
Yeah.
The one team I would, I'm going to say it, there's one team I'd like to see go forward and possibly, I don't know if they're going to be able to, is I wouldn't mind seeing Milwaukee go all the way.
I would. Fuck Milwaukee.
Well, the thing is, though, is they would have to win the next two games just to advance.
Like I said, I mean, I would like that because...
Oh, no, I get it. I'm just saying they would have to win. They have to win this game and then win tomorrow.
I don't know. Right now it's two... Ask me when there's two guys in there, and I'll give you a prediction. I can't really say anything. No, when it's down to the World Series, then I can really, you know, focus on the teams and make a general thing of who I think it's going to be. But I pray it's not going to be Houston again. I pray it's not going to be Atlanta again, and I really don't want it to be Philly again.
I think that's a good chance this year.
I would like, you know what, Baltimore's another team I wouldn't mind seeing win it at all.
By the way, a team with 101 wins is getting swept under the rug.
Who's that?
Baltimore.
That's what I just said, Baltimore.
But I'm saying, they had 101 wins, and the media's just sweeping them under the rug. Like, they have no chance of winning.
Mm-hmm. All right, because Baltimore. When was the last time Baltimore won a fucking World Series?
When was Buck Showalter there? A World Series. I was just saying playoff game. When was Buck there?
That was about maybe 7-8 years ago.
So that was the last time they were in the playoffs.
I want to say. I mean, I could be wrong on the years, but it's been quite a while.
Oh, Christian, maybe you remember who was their first baseman that was supposed to be their biggest star, and he just flopped after 2 years.
Chris Davis.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Davis. They gave him a buttload of money, and he did nothing but flop.
That's when they made the playoffs, when Chris Davis was on the Orioles.
Yeah, because I remember they were around the way from the World Series. That's when the Royals caught fire.
Yep.
In 2014. That's when the Royals and the Giants, which I don't think anybody saw coming that year. That's when they were last in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But so let's discuss the Tim Wakefield. Let's get that part out.
Yeah, so sad news, Tim Wakefield, knuckleballer for the Boston Red Sox, passed away at 53 due to brain tumor, brain cancer. They really never specified. Now, that's
I thought he was older than 53.
Yeah, he was 57.
57. I thought he was. I thought I heard he was
still too young.
Oh, definitely too young. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
But the reason why this has caught such big steam is really for the wrong reasons. Is because I believe it was on a podcast or
not
radio.
Ours.
Not
ours.
Not ours. No relation. God damn it. No relation. Kurt Schilling ended up going on a show and disclosed Tim Wakefield's
prognosis,
his illness. Without any
consent
from, thank you. Without any consent from Kurt or his family, or not Kurt, or from Tim or his family.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian, we all know how you feel about Mr. Schilling. So if you want, we'll give you you can take the mic over on this one and say what you really feel about this piece of garbage.
Wait, the Western Journal really just added a freaking thing saying, did Kurt Schilling cross the line? Yes, he crossed the line. Motherfucker needs to be sued. You gave up HIPAA information.
Yeah, you can't do that.
He did not tell anybody except Kurt about his cancer diagnosis. His diagnosis, and then he goes on a fucking podcast or radio show, and then what, 4 days later he dies?
Jack, Christian, let Christian's got the floor, go ahead.
You guys know, you know, I'm a Yankee fan through and through. I mean, have them tatted on me. You know how passionate I am when it comes to that team. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
you also know that as a Yankee fan, you're damn near bought up to hate the Boston Red Sox, right? But like John and I always say, there are just some guys, even on a rivalry team, that you have to respect. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right, John?
You're completely right.
And there were a few Red Sox I did respect during that time.
Jason
Varitek was one.
David Ortiz.
I really respected Trot Nixon. Johnny Damon was cool because then he ended up coming over to us after a couple of years and he even helped us win a championship. Depending on the day, Pedro Martinez, because I don't know. Like, I respect Pedro more now than I did when he played. I guess maybe, you know, he's a little older. Like, he just kind of came off as a douche to me when he played.
And I'm sorry, practically body slamming Don Zimmer didn't help.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I don't really care for him too much. You know, Manny was cool, but one guy I really respected was Tim Wakefield. And you never heard a bad thing about this guy. This guy played the game the right way. He did it with class. He did it with consistency. He did it with professionalism. And unfortunately, I've seen on Twitter a couple of Yankee fans, rest in peace, Tim Wakefield, will never forget you for 2003. You know
what? God damn it, Booney.
Yeah, and look, I'm a firm believer in there's a time and a place. That wasn't the time, nor was that the place to mention that. You were just better off saying rest in peace, Tim Wakefield, and leaving it at that. Greatest knuckleballer I've ever seen. I mean, you know, you knew he was going to be a tough out every single week. And I mean, often heard him referred to as almost the heart, one of the emotional leaders of the team. I mean, I heard nothing but positive things about him on Sunday. I mean, even seeing David Ortiz post on Instagram, I don't know if you guys saw that. Even seeing Big Poppy's post on Instagram, like, you know, I almost got choked up reading that. Johnny Damon, seeing Jason Varitek talk, because, you know, he still works with the Red Sox. I think he's a bench coach, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, and you know what it is to flip-flop off, not to cut you off, Christian, but Varitek, he went on to say that, I forget what playoff run it was, that Wakefield was left off the roster. I think it was a World Series run or something that he was left off the roster, and he accepted it. It was class and dignity, and that's what showed what kind of player he was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've heard nothing but positive things about him. And, I mean, I never had anything negative to say about him when he played. Did it the right way. You know, even wore his uniform a certain way. Like, his uniform almost looked perfect on him when you saw him pitch. And, you know, this is my childhood because I grew up watching him. Now to talk about the POS.
Say it. Just say it, Christian.
Now to talk about the piece of shit who said what he said. Now people are starting to realize why I hate that man so much. And this right here was just the icing on the fucking cake. Because it was even the excuse he used in saying it. He was like, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a man of faith, and I've seen prayer work. Okay, even if you are. Someone entrusted you with some big time news. You don't come out and you don't say that. Now I see why I don't really like telling people a lot of things because you just never know when and where it's going to get out. So you mean to tell me that you expose this news to everybody, right? And then what? 3 or 4 days later, he's gone. So we kind of knew something was up. For you to say that. And it's like the man couldn't even experience the last few days of his life without drama.
Right.
Like, that's a terrible look. And I'm devastated for his family. I know next year is the 20th anniversary of the Red Sox 2004 World Series title.
Right.
I know that's going to be an emotional one because Tim Wakefield was a big part of that team.
He was one of the main reasons why they won that year.
Yeah, he was. He was. I'm not going to even deny it. Hopefully the Red Sox do the right thing and they just, you know, they just distanced themselves from Curt Schilling because, like, I wouldn't want him a part or affiliated with my organization. I mean, you just don't do things like that. Wrong isn't even the right word to describe this.
Doesn't even scratch the surface.
No, it doesn't. This is lower than low. I mean, there's a special place in hell for that man. I've never liked him, and last week just kind of proved why I didn't. And people just want to say, oh, you didn't like him because he's a Red Sox. No, I don't like him because he's a racist piece of shit.
Now, here's the thing. I think the big thing of all this that people pass up has, as much as it is with Kurt and being a piece of shit, which he is, there's bigger issues in this that no one's talking about.
Shoot.
I mean, he gave up a federal, he gave up someone's illness without their consent. That breaks so many HIPAA laws and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're completely right. Yeah.
I hope his wife sues the ever living shit out of him.
Isn't Tim Wakefield's wife sick too?
That I don't know. I don't know that.
No, I heard she had prostate cancer.
I know Veritek's wife came out and told him that he's a fucking piece of shit.
She went off. I mean,
flat out said, fuck you, you fucking racist piece, literally called him a racist piece of shit, and said that you had no time or place to fucking say that.
No, you just shit, she had every right to say it.
No, she had every right to say it.
That's what I meant. Well, she had every right to say it because he is, like that. He is.
Oh, this is a great meme. Someone just put up a meme of, what is Curt Schilling? And it's the piece of shit. It's the biggest pile of shit from Jurassic Park.
But you know what? I also want to say this, too. You know, after he died the other day, it almost seemed like Kurt was getting a little too much attention over Tim.
Like I said, because he announced freaking diagnosis, because he gave a diagnosis that wasn't under his permission. That's why people were mad.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why he got so much, attention.
So, I mean, even some of the tweets, like one guy said, there is an absolutely non-zero chance in the next 7 days David Ortiz tells Curt Schilling to fuck off on live TV. Honestly, it would be more than deserved.
Oh, I'm surprised nobody's done it yet.
You know what? I'm going to tell you, the last time I actually saw Curt Schilling Tim Wakefield was in 2014 when it was Jeter's final game in Boston. And the Red Sox brought out, like, a whole bunch of, like, Boston sports legends.
Right.
Paul Pierce was there. A couple of Boston Bruins were there. A couple of Patriots were there. And then on the Red Sox side, Tim Wakefield was there.
As he should be.
I mean, that's just tough, you know, because it's, you're almost angry for the Wakefields, and you're almost angry for the Red Sox at this point, because this is a horrible representation of an organization that you played for. Like, think about it. Ever since Mariano retired, you heard Mariano in a negative spotlight?
Mm-hmm.
You know, ever since Jeter retired, you hear of him in a negative spotlight?
Nope.
No. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's one thing when you're playing for the organization, but even when you're no longer with the organization, you still want to conduct yourself in a professional manner, if that makes sense.
Well, let me piggyback off of that. It's like the fact is, like, when you're a professional baseball player, football, basketball, hockey, no matter what sport it might be, when you retire, you're still going out in public. You're still that person that was that star for whatever sport you played for. And when you go out and if you do something stupid or you go do out, you know, you start saying stupid stuff online or at a public thing, that's still going to reflect bad on you, which is going to reflect on bad the team you played for, and it's going to give a black eye to the sport you played for.
Yeah. Kurt Schilling has always been a piece of shit. I mean, I remember when he was on ESPN, and I know he's very opinionated when it comes to politics. And, of course, Donald Trump thinks he's a wonderful guy. Of fucking course.
No comment.
Kurt got fired from ESPN for posting something against transgender people.
Yeah, here's the thing. You can give your opinion on Twitter, but people also glossed over the fact that he owed $57 million. He was supposed to pay like close to $75 million in back taxes to Rhode Island for his 38 Studios failure of Kings of Amalur,
mm-hmm.
which left about 80 people out of
a job.
Jobs.
Yeah.
He had to settle for he had to settle out of court for $2.5 million. So I mean, there's other shit that he's done that people don't talk about, but yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Honestly, yeah, that's just terrible. Like you don't come out and say that. Right, I'm sure. Look, we don't know how long Tim Wakefield had this diagnosis. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know.
Because he was a very private person. He didn't want the world to know.
Yeah.
Because had he wanted the world to know, he would have said it when he was diagnosed.
Yeah, but you know what? And I'm a pretty private guy, too. Like, you know, I'm able to separate things from people. Yeah, I'm a big believer in the saying, you know, y'all see what I want y'all to see on social media. You get what I mean by that? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm
totally.
Not, I've never been the type to, you know, post anyone I'm dating. And people ask me that all the time. Like, you know, if I'm talking to someone, oh, how come you never post a girl that you talk to? I'm like, because y'all don't need to know. Y'all know what I want y'all to know.
Right.
Like, the people closest to me, like you guys, would definitely know.
Of course.
But, yeah, it's just, you know, there's just certain things that you got to keep to yourself. And just the fact that that man used the line, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a man of faith, you got to watch people like that because, you know, those are the ones that are sneaky.
Oh, yeah.
And conniving. Yeah, I got a little story to tell you guys when we get off the air. I'm not going to do it right now. But, yeah, again, I never, you know, I always respected Tim Wakefield. I mean, growing up, Yankee guy, you know, you knew anytime the Yankees and Red Sox played, you were going to see number 49.
Oh, yeah.
I'm devastated for Red Sox fans. I'm devastated for the Red Sox organization. You know, yeah, it's a rivalry, but at the end of the day, you got to know when to show some class. And, you know, just offer your condolences because I remember a couple of years ago after the Red Sox won that World Series in 2018, you know, I have some friends that are Red Sox fans. And my one friend who's a Yankee fan, he's like, why would you do this? You know, why would you show the rival some love? I'm like, because I have something called common sense and I have something called class.
There you go.
And you're too stuck in your ways to see that. You know, I'll never brag about myself when it comes to showing class. I'd rather just do it than to say it. Because if you have to say something or you have to say how good you are at something, you're not that good at it.
No, that means you want attention.
Look, Walter
Payton. You're attention whore.
Walter Payton said it best. When you're good at something, you tell people. But when you're great at something, they tell you.
Yep. There you go.
I really don't give a damn what some Yankee fans have to say to me. You know, this is the loss of a life. Like, this is a wife losing her husband and
kids losing their father,
their dad, and, you know, teammates. And you guys, though, you guys that play team sports, you build up a brotherhood with your
mm-hmm.
teammates. And, you know, that Red Sox team in 2004, I remember they were known as the Idiots, remember?
Yes, they were.
Carr, Ortiz, Manny, Damon, Nixon,
Veritas. Was Nomar on that team?
He was, and he got traded.
That's right. He got traded to L.A.
No, he got traded to L.A. I'm devastated for this organization because he was a big, Tim Wakefield was a big part of the rivalry between the Yankees and Red Sox. Like I said, you knew you were going to see him in one of those games. You know, and I mean, he was able to play as long as he did because
he was a knuckleball pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, he really didn't have a lot of. He just had movement. He didn't have velocity.
Did they put him in the hall?
And they put him in the Baseball Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
No, and if they do it now, I'm calling them out too because he should have. He has over – here, I'm going to look up his numbers, if you guys don't mind.
Oh, no, he's got Hall of Fame numbers. You're right. But that's what I'm saying. I wasn't sure if he got put in yet. That's why I was like –
if he gets put in, it's going to be put in posthumously, which is a load of shit.
Let me see.
Exactly.
Okay.
Brian, while he's looking that up, you got any opinion? You got an opinion?
I do not.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's – you're good.
Let's see. Okay. Yeah, he was a knuckleballer. I mean, but I never saw him pitch up close, but it was like, man, you.
Here, I got his stats.
Okay.
All right, career. His WAR was 34.4, 200 wins, 180 losses, with a 4.41 ERA, 627 games. Played 463 games started, 22 saves, 3,000 innings pitched, 2,156 strikeouts, and a whip of 1.35.
Those are Hall of Fame numbers right there.
I think so, too, and I think it's crap.
He has 200 wins over 2,000 strikeouts.
Yeah, he should be in the Hall.
Yeah, I just think it's crap that he's going to get in. And he's not going to be here to experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be put in posthumously. That's like when a wrestler, like when Eddie Guerrero passed away, they put him in the Hall of Fame the same year he passed away.
The year when Kobe died, like you knew Kobe was getting in.
Of course.
To the Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, the numbers spoke for themselves. But, you know, I remember I called out the Baseball Hall of Fame after Ron Santo died because Ron Santo should have been in before he died.
Exactly.
You know, so I think that just goes to show you, give people their flowers while they're still here. But, again, I can't say it enough. You know, this Yankee fan just offers his condolences to the Wakefield family and the Red Sox organization. At the end of the day, you know, the rivalry in the sport is almost minuscule right now.
Yeah,
because a man lost his life, and I mean, 57 is too damn young. You know, this man, yeah. But I heard nothing but positive things about him. You know, hearing Kevin Youkilis talk about him the other day, like he couldn't even do it because he was so choked up.
Baratek was in tears when they talked to him.
You guys want to hear what Big Poppy said about it?
What'd they say?
I'll read it to you because he's one. I follow him on
Instagram,
and he even pinned the page. He was like, "I can't even describe what you mean to me and my family. My heart is broken right now because I will never be able to replace a friend and a brother like you. Rest in peace, my brother."
That's class.
And then here, I'll read you what Pedro said because, you know, again, I'm not a big Pedro Martinez guy. Like, I'm really not, but. He was just like, "I don't have the words. We were just together a week ago, and I was so looking forward to being here for you on the stretch. I will miss you, my teammate. My heart hurts. Carolina and I will always be here for your family."
Classic thing to say.
Johnny Damon here. I'll read Johnny's. Like, Johnny put up a video of him in Wake on his Instagram, and it looked like from a couple of weeks ago. This had to be a recent video. This is what Johnny said. "I'm deeply saddened by the loss of not only a great teammate, but an incredible friend and human being, Tim Wakefield. His presence and spirit will forever remain in our hearts, and his legacy will continue to inspire us all.
There you go.
You know, that was class.
Everybody had something classy to say about him. You're not going to hear one person say something bad about Tim Wakefield, because there you can't.
So let me ask you guys this. If you're the Red Sox, would you just distance yourself from him? What would you do?
Oh, you outcast Schilling.
What
Schilling,
do you mean?
You Bob Holly him. If anybody's watched, who listened to the show, you know what we mean by Bob Holly.
Yep. You turn him to Al Snow. You exile his ass.
Yep.
So,
and
I mean,
I guarantee, and I'm guaranteeing you, two things are probably going to happen next year for the Red Sox. They're going to retire his number if it's not already retired.
He's already in the Red Sox Hall of Fame.
But is his number retired?
Yeah, I could find out. Well, let me see.
Well, that'll be one, and I guarantee they're going to put a patch on their uniform, like the Yankees do the armband, for Wake next year. Guaranteed.
Did you hear what the Red Sox did on Sunday?
No.
I guess like when Wake was because
he was a broadcaster for them.
Yeah,
for a while.
I guess when Wake was playing. He never, you know, like when you see the guys in the dugout, you know, they have on jackets or they have on hoodies or like windbreakers.
Yeah.
I guess like no player on the Red Sox on Sunday, did anything. Like they just wore, you know, their jersey. Another thing that was classy was Alex Cora. I don't know if you guys saw his press conference at the end of the game on Sunday.
I didn't see it.
You know, of course, he was asked about the game, but you could just see the look on his face, how devastated he was, because I think he played with Wake.
He did.
If I'm not mistaken.
He
and,
did.
And, you know, he just, I mean, he made his presser about Tim Wakefield. No, his number isn't retired because I guess there's a rule with the Red Sox. Let me see. Here's another way that you could tell how respected he was. Chris Sale. When Sale went to the Red Sox, he changed his number from 49 to the number 41 because of the respect for Tim Wakefield.
Right. And regardless of what it is, and if they have a rule, I think they're going to waive that rule for somebody like him because he deserves it.
Yeah, it's not retired because I see an article right here, Ronnie, from 2017 from Fox Sports. Red Sox, it's time to retire Tim Wakefield's number 49.
And that'll probably happen next year. They're probably working on it now.
But, you know, it shouldn't have come now after he passes because he won't be here to experience it.
Right.
The only uniform of Tim's that have been retired is his number in college.
That's going to change soon. I have a deep feeling that's going to change.
Yeah.
But my condolences to his family. I mean, I can't piggyback off what Christian said. Christian, you said it the best. I can't follow that up.
Well, you had one rant ready to go in your box. So as much as we want to.
So we go from a beautiful person to a beautiful piece of shit. Okay.
And that's not named Curt Schilling.
That's not named Curt Schilling. His name is Angel fucking Hernandez.
All right.
Now, just let me get this out. This piece of shit, look, I'm not a Philly fan. Everybody that watches, that listens to the network knows how much I don't like the Phillies. I was cheering for Bryce Harper to knock his fucking head off the other day when he pulled that stunt with that, oh, you swung. When is MLB going to fire this motherfucker? When is this motherfucker going to disappear? And why is he even here? You know what I mean? It's just like, I just don't get it. I don't understand how this man still has a job. I don't know. Does he have pictures of Rob Manfred in a goat somewhere? Or I don't know. Can you guys answer this question to me? Can you answer that?
I mean, he has a deal with the devil, I guess.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
I just need to go.
Wait, hold on, hold on. When did Raider Dave go to hell? Oh, he lives in hell. Oh, he is a Raiders. He is a Raiders fan. So.
Now, let me set the record straight.
Somebody
come. I claim Hernandez, but it's definitely not Angel.
Why is he around? Why did you let him? Why did you unleash him on the world of baseball?
I didn't unleash him on the world. That wasn't me.
Then why is he here?
John.
Yes.
I can't answer that. Because I'm not responsible for that, Hernandez. I'm responsible for the NFL, Hernandez. I'm also responsible for Kurt Schilling.
Oh, well, you can have him. You can put him in the same room with Saddam.
He's mine.
Hey, don't put me in that fucking bait there, bitch. I don't need no Angel. No, Satan, let me speak on this. I don't need Angel Hernandez telling me what the balls and strikes. I know what balls are. They've been hanging around my neck for the last fucking 6 months because that's what Angel Hernandez was doing.
Okay. So you need to take your question about Angel Hernandez up with the other guy. Because it's not this guy. I don't like this shit.
It's going to take a little more convincing on that there, Satan, because apparently...
Father, listen to me, John. I'm being super serial right now.
Super serial?
Super serial.
Oh,
serial.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Who has two thumbs and is an Aaron Hernandez guy? The guy. Who's a Hernandez fan? Not this guy. Although, Hitler's ass is getting a little worn out from those pineapples. Dan Marino. But then I realized I don't fucking want Dan Marino. So we want his name.
Oh, so that's the reason you gave him the Isotoner commercials.
Yes. And my favorite is called Fire Path. Hernandez. Okay, so now we got a new pineapple up the ass guy. When do you want me to collect him?
Yeah, that would be nice.
How about now?
How about now?
Can't do it now.
Damn.
Unless you get shit canned by MLB, then we have a chance.
Yeah, I want to know why. I want to know why he's still got a fucking job.
By the way, that news just came out. The reason I told you that he's going to get fired real soon is because he lost his lawsuit.
Which I think is
baseball.
That's another load of shit.
And the federal court refused to reinstate the case. So, bye, bitch.
Hey, it's done, Todd.
What?
You like my Steelers action this week? You like that?
You can go fuck yourself. That's the subject.
Fuck the Steelers.
What the fuck are the Sonics?
You guys want to know who Safe Roots for?
Well, I look at this, you know, what is the referees for the Jets game this week go to the Angel Hernandez School of Umpiring Refereeing? We'll get to that, I'm sure. I'm sure you didn't have a hand in that either.
No.
I mean, listen. What you did to the Jets was...
Ooh, baby, I like it more.
Yeah, I just kind of stuck it in there, broke it off. You're welcome.
Yeah, that and all the Taylor Swift shit.
Hey.
Ha! Hello. Gay!
All right, listen to me, Ronnie. You're drinking margaritas and listening to Taylor Swift is gay. I don't want to be straight.
Canadians are weird.
I'm not a Canadian, you sick fuck.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
That's going to be your role when you get here.
Oh, hell no.
Yes. Christian.
Christian, T-Bone's looking for you.
The hell you want? Hold on, let me grab my breath.
What
the hell you want?
Fuck the Yankees.
Hey.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, what?
Cockeyed motherfucker.
I'm stuck in my eye, I can't help it.
Fix it then.
Stop, put your dick away.
Fix it, so I ain't got nothing to talk
you
about.
You got knocked the fuck out, man! Give me my goddamn money.
I think you better call on Tyrone.
Dude, you did not just say that. Hold on. Think up for a second. You just triggered like a core memory.
Wait, what happened?
Sing that again.
Nah.
I think Ryan's got something he wanted to do.
Please.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Sing it.
Oh, damn. I really don't want to sing it.
Shit.
Let me just tell you why. You triggered a core memory for me here.
Oh, God. Let me hear it.
You guys remember whenever Red Dead first went online, Red Dead 2, like 5 years ago?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there were all those people talking about, like, the Red Dead fight clubs that were popping up.
Right.
Okay. I was part of those. And we were having this fight club, and I came across a player named Tyrone.
Oh, shit.
And, like, he was cool. I was like, so if we get in trouble, can we call on Tyrone? And he's like, yeah. And there are, like, a bunch of people, and we're all fighting. And this group of guys come up, and they just start shooting us all to hell. Like, we're outnumbered. And I just yelled, Tyrone! Literally, a minute and a half later, here comes Tyrone hauling ass across the fucking game. Both hands filled with guns, just dropping motherfuckers left and right.
Shooting them below the kneecaps?
Oh, straight up, dude. We called on Tyrone, and he arrived and saved our asses.
No way.
What?
Oh, this is breaking news. Ex-WWE star, that's putting that term loosely, Kimberly, set for a pretrial hearing after a DUI arrest.
Interesting.
I could say words, but I'll be nice.
No. But to get back to that other piece of shit we were talking about, Christian, what is your thoughts on him? And then, Ryan, I want to get your thoughts on him, because apparently Satan doesn't want to take credit for him, but I still think he's part of that, but that's besides
who,
the point.
On Angel?
Good old Hector Angel?
I mean, we know he's been shitty. God, I really can't say much, because... You know, I didn't know what else happened, but he always just seems to be the center of controversy.
I'd rather take Joe West than him.
Mm-hmm.
All day.
But you know what it is with him? It's like, and I said this to Ronnie earlier when I was talking, it's like, I legit think he either is trying to get himself fired so he could sue MLB for firing because of racial discrimination.
They won't. They already closed that case, though.
No, no, but if they fire him as an umpire, then he's going to try. You know he's going to say, well, you fired me because I'm it's racial profiling because you fired me.
They did that the first time. He literally...
No, they sued him because he didn't... The reason he sued the last time is because he wasn't given the role of crew chief, which he doesn't deserve. And he wasn't given any playoff games because only good umpires deserve to be in the play, to umpire in the playoffs. And he's been denied that. That's why he sued MLB. Not
yeah, for his race, though.
Right. No, but I'm saying if we fire his ass, he's going to probably try to sue because they fired him.
No, but I'm saying is he already filed a discrimination lawsuit against MLB.
You know, and it's like, I remember a clip that I saw not too long ago. Somebody replayed it now on X, Twitter, whatever the hell it is. When Mongo was singing, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and he says, I'll have a word with that umpire after the game. And Angel had Mongo thrown out of the game. Chris, do you remember that?
Oh, shit. It comes Mongo.
I do remember that.
Angel Hernandez had Mongo thrown out of the stadium.
Mm-mm.
Mongo likes baseball.
Mongo Street. Mongo? Yeah, Mongo. Oh, shit. Fuck that shit. Here comes Mongo. Angel Hernandez will not... lost his lawsuit against Major League Baseball for racial discrimination... decriminalization lawsuit against her, and they will not reopen it. He lost this back in August. So even if they fire him, he can't sue for racial because there's no proof.
You know, and if they do fire him, which I'm praying to God they do, because in all the years I've watched baseball, I've seen good umpires, I've seen bad umpires. I have never seen an umpire this bad. Never. In all my years, I've never seen an umpire miss balls and strikes so bad. Miss plays on the base path. I remember the game with the Yankees and the Red Sox, speaking of going back to the Red Sox. Chris, you remember that game where he was at first base, and he blew like four calls at first base. And
yep.
Every call got reviewed, and every call he made got reversed.
Yep.
When he called somebody out, they were safe. When they were safe, they were out. You know, and it's like they wore out their audio-video equipment, you know, going back and forth. It's like, Angel, get the fucking shit right the first time. You know, it's just, I just can't stand this motherfucker. You know, and it's like... What do you guys think? Do you think he should be fired, honest to God?
Yes!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you think this is the final straw for it?
Yes, because he has no grounds to sue if they do. Because, we're not suing you for race. We're suing you because you suck. Or, sorry, we're not suing you. We're firing you because you suck.
He had – I sent a thing to Ronnie. He's got the lowest percentage for umpires because they're rated at the end of the year. He's got the lowest one.
He's going to get fired.
I think if the day that comes down, I think Major League Baseball, the players, fans are going to have a fucking tape parade for Manfred because it'll be the first and only time that motherfucker did anything right.
Wait a minute. Hey, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm watching this. Wilson Contreras got traded to the Brewers?
Yeah.
For
really?
What, a bag of baseballs?
I don't know for what he got traded for, but I know he got traded.
I heard he just hit a single to get him first and second. I didn't even know he got traded.
I think he got traded at the deadline, I think.
Okay, that explains it. It's Arizona is about to, if they can get out of this, it's 5-2 Arizona right now.
But. No, last thoughts on Shitty Hernandez, and then we'll move on to football. Anybody got any last thoughts about that piece of garbage before we move on?
Nope. Waste of space.
Ryan, you've been quiet during this. Ryan, you've been quiet about him.
I mean, he sucks. There's really nothing else to say. He's terrible.
As in the words of Christian, ain't nobody care.
Yeah. Nah, Ryan trying to figure out a way how I don't call fucking Tyrone.
Pretty sure
nah, dude, speaking of Ty, nah, there's a guy on Instagram. He's on social media, and his name is Tyrone. And big black dude, you know, think of me, but just a little more swole, right? Yeah, and darker. And he'll just go up. Like, I'm going to send y'all the video. He's like,
but,
oh,
but
God,
you
don't
like him after shorter, and your face is different.
I'm 6 feet.
Woo!
And, nah, he'll just literally come up. He'll be like, I'm Tyrone. And fuck this little whatever. He'd be like, and fuck this Bobby Brown looking motherfucker. I'm here to fuck your wife. Long.
Dude. Oh, I know this. I've seen that clip. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Ronnie, I absolutely lose it every time I see him smack a cigarette. He goes, and stop smoking. Cigarettes are bad for you.
Wasn't he one of the jokes for the office linebacker?
I don't know, but all I know is if Tyrone or someone like Tyrone came up to me, I'd shoot him in his kneecaps.
It's not attempted murder, then.
Nah, man, I'm not trying to kill him. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, bruise his kneecaps, paralyze him a little bit. That's all it is.
You're going a little too far. You need to go the route I do. Like, I don't want to maim or kill people. I want to, like, severely inconvenience them for the rest of their life. So
yeah,
I'm like,
that's what I'm doing. Paralyzing his ass. Shoot one leg, and then he can hop. I call his ass IHOP.
Okay. It's just that way he's really inconvenient in every aspect of the rest of his life.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, shit.
I hope you get herpes, sir.
Damn.
Oh, he went there. Okay.
I went there. Because, like, I don't want to kill people. I don't want to kill people. I want to kill some people, but I can't. I've thought of that.
Makes as much sense as the New York Giants offensive line.
So, when you can't kill them, hope they get herpes. That way they're severely inconvenienced for the rest of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Wah, wah, wah.
Like Eddie Murphy said, get herpes. Keep that shit forever like luggage.
Right. It's like a canker sore on the girls' swim team. It just keeps coming back.
Oh, God. Hey, now.
Leah Thomas.
Oh, man. We're all going to hell.
400.
I got 3 apartments down there.
I just have a free runway, Christian.
You know what? I think you better call on Tyrone.
Oh, damn.
Einhorn has the worst case of herpes I've ever, worst case of hemorrhoids I've ever seen.
That's disgusting.
It was Einhorn.
That's a broad statement, Cotton. Let's see how it works out for him.
Oh, well.
Bold strategy, Cotton.
Let's see if it works out for him.
That's the second reference to fucking Ace Ventura today.
Isotoners.
Isotoners, yep. Oh, God.
He found Captain Winky.
And there's number 3. All right, let's make it to the NFL.
All righty.
NCAA, because Christian, we can talk about, because they are on the list today, but we got to talk about the shit you don't fuck with.
Uh-oh. So we're doing NCAA picks first?
Yes.
All right, what was the records for last week?
Oh, we didn't really do that good.
He never
Pretty much we all averaged about NFL, we kind of did pretty bad. I didn't get the final tallies, but we missed. We went out of 16 games, we had 5 losses.
Who's still in first place?
I don't have the total for NCAA. You're probably still in first after you're 15-1.
But what about the NFL? That's what I'm curious
NFL,
about.
I got a tally last week. Okay. I know you're still in first, and John's a game. I think John's like still a game on last place, like a game in last. But that probably is going to change. But, yeah, let's talk about the shit you don't fuck
baby,
around
baby,
with.
I like it more.
The Trojans.
Mm-hmm.
I told you I was gonna add some new shit with that.
Yeah, I knew you were. Might have taken me 2 seconds to get it.
You're not gonna fucking get the joke, really?
Nah, I got it. I mean, look, they're Oklahoma West because the same stuff we saw in Norman with Lincoln Riley is the same things we're seeing in Southern California. Like, think about it. The great defenses have what, y'all? Communication in each tier of the defense, right? Everybody on the defensive line knows their assignments. And then the defensive line, they're what? They're almost like offensive linemen on the defensive side because what's that do? That allows those linebackers to come down and roam around and make plays freely on the ball. And then when everybody in the front seven is doing their part, guess what that does for the secondary? That allows the secondary to naturally make plays on the ball. And it's just basic football fundamentals that they're lacking because it's missing tackles. It's guys blowing gap assignments. It's no communication in the secondary. It's zooming in on one guy and then leaving someone else completely open. And think about it like this, Ronnie. I said it on Monday, even a quarterback, the other day with you. If USC's defense was as balanced and as electric as their offense was, this is the scariest team in college football, and I don't think it'd even be close. They'd be the consensus favorite to win a national championship.
I agree with that. But, all right, let's get into the – I just wanted to talk about that because I know that was a big deal, and they are on the list for our picks this week.
Okay. I told you what I'm not
getting. Yep, I got it. Okay. Yeah, I know. And the one – obviously the one college game is on the list. All right, let's get to the top 25. The teams that have been dropped out of the top 25. Oh, shit, actually, no. Before I do that, we actually have some updated news that just broke. The SEC fined Ole Miss $175,000 for fans throwing debris on the field and storming the field. Bring that up because we talked about that on Monday Evening Quarterback.
Yeah, we did. There's no need for that.
Stop selling alcohol at college games. I will stand by that. I die on that fucking hill. But, yep. So, teams that have gotten dropped out of the top 25 this week, Florida and Kansas, both lost. What a shock.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're top 25. Number 25, jumping in pretty much because they got Notre Dame this week. 5-0 Louisville. What a shock. Number 24, up one spot. They got Wyoming, Fresno State. Number 23, down 10 spots, LSU. Number 22, 4-1, good old Rocky Top after the win against South Carolina. Their ass whooping to South Carolina, Tennessee. Number 21, after their narrow win against Vanderbilt, Missouri. Number 20, jumping into the top 25 this week over their ass-whipping of Florida, Kentucky.
Yeah, we caught that.
Yeah, we did.
You know, Kentucky, Mark Stoops is going to stick to his box. They're going to run the football. It's a power running game.
Yeah, and they got a big game this week. That's for damn sure.
And I can't wait to talk about that.
Number 19, their loss barely, them Duke boys, Duke.
You know, Duke played tough. I was able to preview that game last weekend against Notre Dame. And Notre Dame's defense, I think, was just that good. They did a good job of containing Riley Leonard, not letting Duke get those hard-earned yards. It was a physical football game, and Duke has really shed that moniker about ACC football teams. It's not just a finesse league. Like, Duke is the most physical team in that league, and Mike Elko is a big reason behind that. Unfortunately, Riley Leonard got hurt. Did we ever hear what happened with that?
High ankle sprain.
Oh, he's lucky. He's lucky because I thought he broke something.
No, yeah, it's a high ankle sprain, so he's going to be out for a couple weeks.
Okay. But, nah, Duke's been one of the feel-good stories this year, you know, opening that game, opening the year and getting that big win over Clemson. Yeah, like, I like the trajectory and the direction that Duke is going in. And how awesome would it be if we had a North Carolina Duke ACC conference title game? Wouldn't
oh,
that
yeah.
be cool?
That'd be interesting. That'd be definitely interesting because, honest to God, Duke can do it. But I think the other team that's going to be an interesting team to catch is going to be the team that's next on this list.
Is that who I think it is?
17, the U.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they look good this year. You know, Tyler Van Dyke is taking care of the ball. And Miami has one of the best defensive lines in all of college football.
Yep, I agree with that. And they got Georgia Tech this week. Number 16, Ole Miss. Okay, number 15, the Beavers of Oregon State. Number 14. I said I was going to do it. I said I was going to add it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, North Kakalaki, who's home against Syracuse. Number 13, Wazoo. Number 12, Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, they have a huge game this weekend. I can't wait to talk about that one with you guys.
Yep, number 11, Roll Tide, Bama.
You know, last weekend against Mississippi State, that was their best win of the year. Now, they have a victory where they can make a statement, and I think they do, actually. Again, I'll elaborate into it when we get in the picks.
Yep. Number 10. Actually, is Bama even – yeah, Bama is on this list because they got a game that's a standout game. Number 10, Notre Dame.
Move back into the top 10. They were just number 11 a couple of weeks ago. I need to see a little bit more from them because the offense just seems like they pick and choose when they want to start it up, if that makes sense. Like, they should have did better against Ohio State. They looked okay against Duke. They were a little bit more aggressive. But, again, the X factor for Notre Dame is Audric Estime, the running back. He's your best player. He leads the country in rushing yards as
yeah.
a total. Your best player of the ball. He ended up walking it off for him.
Yeah, no, you're right. Brian Scott, by the way, grand slam.
Yeah, 7-0, bottom of the sixth.
Philly's up 7-0.
Yeah, Miami's not coming back from this. Bryson Scott, yeah.
In a fucking playoff game. And then fucking Arizona's about to close this game out. So it looks like the wild card game only lasted 2 days. Yeah, number 9, the Trojans of USC.
Yeah, look, we know what the offense is going to bring to the table. It's the defense that's going to hold them back. Because what's the saying, guys? Offense wins games, but what wins championships?
Defense.
Exactly, and they don't have one. So when you have a team who has such a great offense, but the defense can't get it going, right? It's almost as if there's a continuous amount, an enormous amount of pressure on the offense due to the simple fact because they have to sustain long drives because the defense can't get off the field. It's like the points that the offense scores, the defense gives that right back up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only reason they're dropping down is because they let Colorado back into that game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the team that jumped them is good old Puddles and Oregon, the Ducks.
I think Oregon might be the best team in...
I'm still going to argue with you on that.
In the Pac-12. So I think they're this year's TCU.
I would not... I'm not surprised, but I really think the team that's next right above them is
Washington.
Still better is Washington.
Mm-hmm.
They fell asleep behind the wheel against Arizona.
Yeah, they did.
And they got lucky, but they're seven, and honestly, the top seven did not change. It's still Washington, Penn State, FSU, the Buckeyes of Ohio State, Texas, Michigan, and UGA, Georgia.
You know, I'm kind of concerned about Georgia because they show some, you know, they show that they're human after all. You know, they've been an immovable wall, an immovable object, and a brick wall these last couple seasons. Auburn ran the ball for over 200 yards.
Yeah, they did.
The other day, which is why that Kentucky game is a little bit more interesting now because Kentucky's probably watching that film and they're saying, okay, if they can do it, why can't we? I can't wait till we get to picks.
Oh, and we're going to get to them right now. All right. Going into the NCAA picks, we kick it off with not North Carolina, that's soon, but no, Notre Dame taking on Louisville. Notre Dame is a 6.5-point favorite. The over-under is 54. I don't know in this game. In all honesty, this game could literally be a full-blown shootout.
This is who?
The Irish versus the Cardinals.
I'm going to take the Cardinals in that one.
I like Notre Dame, but Louisville's going to come ready to play. Like, that crowd's going to really be into it. You got a blue blood coming into your stadium. This isn't going to be a walk-away game. For Notre Dame. Like, they got to give Audric Estime the ball, create those opportunities with Mitchell Evans, and watch out for number 27 on Notre Dame. He goes by the name of J.D. Bertrand. John, this kid was made to play middle linebacker in football. He's tough. He's physical. He's aggressive. He's downhill. He's the quarterback of this Notre Dame defense.
Okay. Very cool.
I think this is definitely an over game because I think – oh, Louisville's going to score, and so is Notre Dame. Ryan, who are you taking?
Notre Dame.
Taking the Irish? Christian, you said you were taking the Irish?
I'm taking the Irish, but I have a feeling that Louisville's going to make it interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Irish, but I don't think they cover this. If I can get a 7 on this, I would bet Louisville. I think this game is going to be tight, and this game's going to be like 33-30. It's just going to be friggin' scoring. And we have our first official rivalry renewed. The battle for the big brown jug. Michigan rolls into Minnesota and tries to stop the boat from sinking.
You say it the right way.
Minnesota.
There you go.
Michigan is a...
I got to do it right, eh?
Michigan, after covering against Corn, is a 19-point favorite, and the over-under is 46. Michigan will take the big brown jug back home.
I just want to see if Michigan will what energy are they going to come out with? Because, Ronnie, what do I always say? I say it on Monday Evening Quarterback, and I've said it on this show, too, and I even say it on College Football Showdown. Teams have a tendency to do what? Still celebrate the success from the previous win.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of overlook what's in front of them. They feel because they blew out an opponent the week before, they can use that same effort that they used the week before to propel them to another victory. I don't think that's going to be the case here. I think Jim's going to have his men ready to play. Look, let's just face it. Minnesota doesn't have the passing attack to keep up with Michigan, and I think that's going to be the difference maker. Michigan does. A lot of Roman Wilson. Give Blake Corum the ball. Donovan Edwards will have a couple of big runs here and there. And defensively, that Michigan defense is going to get after the quarterback. I definitely like the Wolverines here.
Brian?
Don't nobody care.
That would be
not
a
bad. Bad.
I believe that means you're taking Michigan?
Yeah.
John?
Michigan.
Yep, the jug goes back home to the boys in blue. All right, next, Rutgers goes into Camp Randall to take on Wisconsin.
Give me
Wisconsin's a 13-point favorite, and the over-under is 44. This is an under game, and yeah, you know what? The thing is Rutgers has three games that they can fully win because they are a balanced team. They win the next three. College game day is coming to Jersey, baby.
Yeah.
If not, it's going to be Fox.
If they don't go somewhere else.
Oh, dude, they're not. You really think Fox Noon is not going to be there? Gus, that game is going to be on Fox because you know Gus is going to call in that game at noon.
Yeah.
Unless Herb Street's going to call it, and that's going to be on ESPN.
Yeah.
It's one or two things. Rutgers, Ohio State, if they end up being 7-1, will be a noon kickoff, or it will be an 8 p.m. game. There's no 3:30 on Big Ten Network. That will be a primetime game on Fox, or that will be a night game on ESPN. Yeah, give me the Scarlet Knights.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Christian.
This can go either way. I'm going to go Wisconsin, but I think Rutgers keeps it close. I think a field goal ends up deciding this one.
Yeah, I think the fact that this is a 14-point spread, there's Vegas is showing no love to the Knights.
Exactly.
Because let's face it, as much as everyone's like, oh, well, they got blown out by Michigan, I go, they got blown out by the second-best team in the nation. And
that speaks volumes.
And even then, they still scored on the opening drive. They covered the spread, and that was the first day Harbaugh was back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're telling me Rutgers, you're telling me a team like Michigan doesn't have to beat them? Yeah, but team two is a team like Rutgers should have allowed 50 against Michigan. With that defense holding them to 37.
In a row?
Thank you. Shows a lot about that Shiano defense. And if you're telling me they got to go into Camp Randall and do the jump around, yeah, well, I like Rutgers' rushing game, and they're more of a balanced team than Wisconsin. That's the big thing. Rutgers is a balanced team. This team reminds me a lot of 2006 with Ray Rice and Brian Leonard in the backfield. This team reminds me a lot of that, but with like more rushing than passing. All right. Next game, UTSA comes into Philly to take on Temple. UTSA is a 14-point favorite. The over-under is 55. I don't really give a shit. UTSA.
That's wrong. Yeah, I agree.
Sure.
Yeah, don't nobody care. This is as bad as fucking Hawaii, but they're off today.
Who gives a fuck? Not this guy. Greater Dan, give a fuck?
No! Oh, shit. Are they off this week? Because I actually didn't even see if Penn State was playing this week. I think they're off. Yeah, that explains why I didn't see a game for them. Okay. All right, next. We have Friday night. Kansas State takes on the Cowboys of OK State. K-State is a 12-point favorite, and the over-under is 54. This is going to be in Doak. Not Doak. This is in Cowboy Country. This is in fucking OK State.
Don't everybody drop their pick at once.
Yeah. Give me K-State.
This is a who the fuck cares game of the week.
Oh, no. There's one other one on here that you're gonna laugh your ass off at. But give me K-State and the cover and the over.
At this K-State, Tails is...
You're not wrong.
Chris, what do you take in K-State?
Yep.
Yeah, State.
I think I got a magic 8-ball around here somewhere.
All right. Well, the game that actually matters, the game of the week, the Nooner going on over in the Cotton Bowl, the Red River rivalry, Boomer Sooners, Oklahoma takes on their back Texas. Texas is apparently a 6.5-point favorite. I did see some books have 7-point favorite, and the over-under is 61. Christian, you are calling that you are doing the preview of the game. I call on the games pretty much. What's your keys?
Well, for Oklahoma, they have to display better balance, right? Because the Red River rivalry, it's always a shootout, right? However, the game always comes down to who averages more yards rushing per game. That's what this is going to come down to for both teams. But I want to see if Oklahoma can run that ball. They're a more physical team now. Look, Brett Venables has really changed the dynamic of this entire program. Can't wait to see what Dylan Gabriel does. Texas, this is the best Texas team I've seen since 2009. And we all remember what happened that year. They made it to the national championship. That's the first one Saban won against with Alabama. It's going to be a shootout. The ball is going to fly around. I can't wait to preview this one. I remember when I previewed it for the first time in 2018, and I loved every second of it. And that's the one thing I enjoy about also analyzing college football as well, because I get to break down the historic rivals, and this is one of the best. And this isn't the last time we're getting this rivalry, is it?
Nope, because since they're both going to the SEC, they made it a perfect thing that's still going to be one of their conference games.
Cool. So yeah. Plus, I also think this is a preview of what we're going to see in December on Championship Saturday.
Yeah, and I think the big thing that no one talks about is with this game is that it's held during the county fair. The Texas County Fair is the culmination of that weekend.
Yeah.
So they're not going to stop that tradition. All right. John, who are you going to take, Boomer Sooners or Texas?
Give me Boomer Sooners.
Yeah, Boomer Sooner.
Nah, give me horns up. Give me Texas. Christian, you know what to do.
What's that?
Text me.
Oh, okay.
All right, now for the who really gives a shit game. Maryland goes into the horseshoe, God damn it. Goes into the shoe to take on Ohio State. Ohio State's a 20-point favorite, and the over-under is 57. God damn it. I hope Maryland wins, but no one gives a shit about this game. Give me the Buckeyes.
Yep, I'm with you.
Man, don't nobody care.
Are you? So you're taking the suck eyes?
I said what I said.
That's not the answer.
Christian?
He said what he said.
Thank you.
Then who are you taking, Christian?
Man, come on. Ain't nobody care.
There you go.
Fucking A.
No, fucking O. It's easier.
Does Tua's brother actually do better than Tua? And not get a concussion in this game?
God, I hope so. I hope not.
So, yeah, we're all in agreement on,
Ohio State.
I hope, I would love Maryland to fucking win this, but it's not happening.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, it's time for you to have fun with this one. LSU, it's a 5.5-point favorite against Missouri.
Fuck Missouri. Give me LSU.
LSU.
So, breaking news that happened about 4 hours ago, LSU finds out that their starting safety was diagnosed with brain cancer.
I saw that.
So, question is this going to stop LSU from doing what they're doing? I think it's going to be a distraction. Give me Mizzou. Christian,
yeah,
who are you taking?
Yeah, I'm taking Missouri as well.
Sick, and they will officially cash their ticket to go bowling because they would be 6-0.
Yeah.
All right, next. Bama goes into College Station to take on Texas A&M. Bama's a 1.5-point favorite. The over-under is 49.
Bama.
Brian?
I previewed this one on the site yesterday. These games are always tough between Alabama and Texas A&M. Remember, Texas A&M beat them in 2021 on a field goal. And last year, I thought Texas A&M was about to beat them again. But Alabama was able to hold on. You know, I think this is going to be the biggest start of Jalen Milroe's career because he's going into a hostile environment. That 12th man, they're going to really be on him. This Texas A&M defense is going to be tough. Alabama's defense is good, but it's not as strong as we're accustomed to seeing. I like Alabama. You know, I don't trust Texas A&M in this moment. You know, Alabama, Nick Saban's been through these situations so much, and that's what I think is going to catapult them.
You're actually right on that one. Ryan, who are you taking?
Who is it?
Bama and Texas A&M. Bama's pretty much playing for their fucking lives.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is what determines the outcome of the SEC West because LSU's not winning the division this year.
So,
I mean,
so to me, this is roll fucking tide.
But how big of a win would this be for Jimbo?
I mean, think about it. Not just beat Bama. Knock him out of the national title.
Yeah. So there's a lot riding on this game.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I decided to preview it.
All right, next is Syracuse. Rolling in to North Carolina. So, Carolina's an 8-point favorite, the over-under 60.
I like North Carolina. I just think they have too much offense across the board. I don't know if Syracuse has the pressure to put on Drake May.
North Carolina.
Ryan?
North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, listen, UNC can come back and be fine, but it's Cuse right now that needs to show something after they just got outplayed by Clemson. Unfortunately, Drake May is going to outplay them, so.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the Tar Heels.
It's a great day to be a Tar Heel, baby.
At least it's not a shiny moment. Hey, he may be gone, but I'm going to fuck with you on that one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going out of the bounce house to Rock Chalk. So UCF, Central Florida, takes on Kansas. Kansas is a two-point favorite. Kansas all day. Give me them in the points.
Yeah.
Draw a line through it. Yep. All right, Kentucky goes into Athens to take on UGA and the Georgia Bulldogs. Bulldogs are a 15-point favorite, and the over-under is 48. Hammer the under on this game. Holy shit, this is going to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, because if I'm Kentucky, I'm taking a page out of Auburn's playbook. I'm running the football.
Would you play zone against this pass defense and start throwing corner blitzes to make sure and try to make sure you take away the zone on the gaps for on Bauer?
Absolutely. On Brock Bowers?
Yes.
Yeah, look, I'm doubling.
Let somebody else beat you.
Yeah, but see, I would play Brock tied up at the line. You know what I'm saying? I kind of play that bracket coverage. You remember that coverage that they played on Calvin Johnson?
Yep.
Yeah, I will play that on Brock Bowers and make Carson Beck beat me with one of these receivers, like you just said.
Yeah, because he is the best tight end in the league.
Oh, yeah, he's by far the best tight end in college football. It's not even close.
I might have to do something that I really think Georgia is going to lose a game, and they're going to be on the fringe. It's just one of those things where I think Georgia's very vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this game, and then you have to go, and then they have a week off, and they're going to the cocktail party afterwards.
Which won't be easy because Florida's going to get up for that game.
So, fuck.
You're my love!
Give me Kentucky.
Kentucky.
I'm taking Georgia still. I think Georgia's going to want to come out and prove a point because they hear the talking. Oh, they're not the same team anymore. Remember, this is the defending champs. And anytime you play a defending champ, anytime you play the defending champs, you're going to give them all they can handle.
Kentucky looks like the Missouri team that took them to the five-minute mark last year.
Yep, they do.
And if they play like Missouri played last year, we're going to be in for another nail biter. But the difference is Kentucky's got a better defense than Missouri. Hence why I think that Kentucky can actually pull this off. Ryan, who you taking?
Georgia.
All right. Next, we got Colorado going into Arizona to take on Arizona State. Colorado's only a 4-point favorite in this game. Vegas really downgraded them a ton. Give me Coach Prime. The over and the fucking points. They're going to blow out Arizona State.
Yeah.
No Hunter, though, for this game. He's two games.
Yeah.
Another two. John, who are you taking?
Colorado.
Brian?
Colorado.
I hear you dragging. We'll make these quick. Georgia Tech takes on Miami. Miami's a 21-point favorite.
Oh, Miami's going to steamroll them.
Yep.
Miami.
All right, Fresno State takes on Wyoming. Fresno State is a 6-point favorite. The over-under is 44. It's a wrong team favorite in this game.
Oh,
Give me the Cowboys. It's going to be it's gonna be like 50 fucking degrees in goddamn Wyoming. Going into this game, the cold is going to play a factor because, yeah, okay, Fresno's cold. Bullshit, it's not Wyoming cold. And you're giving them a touchdown? Give me the points, give me the money line, and give me the over because Wyoming's going to stomp the shit out of them. Christian, what are you taking?
Who are you taking, Ronnie?
Wyoming.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm taking Wyoming.
Wyoming.
Brian, the big thing about that is, okay, fuck it. Yeah, we have a bet on them. We also have a bet on Fresno, so it really doesn't matter who wins that. It's just we have it's better odds on Wyoming. And finally, our Pac-12 After Dark game. Oregon State takes on Cal. Oregon, the Beavers are a 9.5-point favorite. The over-under is 52. Who hammered the over on that one? And give me the Beavers.
Yeah, I'm taking the Beavers as well.
Beavers.
Right.
You said the Beavers.
Oh, did he? I didn't even hear him.
I heard him.
All right. Do we want to do our picks first for the NFL and then do some, and then, Rye, I can tell you're dragging if you want to bounce out. Let's do our picks first, and then we'll do that. So I will give the
What are we doing?
Picks first for the NFL.
Okay.
All right. Let's go, because it's the less, we finally have buys this week.
Yeah, we do.
Going into this week, we have 14 games instead of 16. And we kick off the Thursday night game with Chicago taking on Washington. What a lovely Thursday night game. We're back to the OG Thursday nights where they're just shit.
Washington.
Washington.
Yeah, I'm taking the Commanders as well. Last week was the best chance for the Bears to win a football game. They got away from what had them in the game, which was the running attack.
Yeah, give me I'm agreeing with you because Justin Fields is absolutely the worst.
Nah, he did all. He had a great game. You can't.
He had a great
game.
No, he had a great game, but he is still a terrible quarterback. Because it's not even really his fault as much. It is the coaching.
Yeah.
But all right. Philly takes on the LA Rams. You're previewing it, Christian. What do you got?
How healthy is Matthew Stafford? He's been dealing with that hip pointer, and you can tell it's really affecting him. Remember, this is an older Matthew Stafford now. This isn't the guy from 5 or 10 years ago. He's 35 years old. Is Cooper Kupp coming back? Because I know he's practicing this week. And watch, I'm going to tell you guys what the Rams are going to do. They're going to keep it a secret up until game time, meaning they're going to throw off the Eagles, and they're going to force the Eagles to have to readjust their entire game plan on how they're going to come out as a defense. And defending Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp, that's going to be a tough out for the Eagles secondary. The Eagles don't really have that statement win, right? Like, every game that they've won has been relatively close. I mean, almost should have lost to the Patriots in week one, if I'm being real. The Vikings almost came back and beat them. Yeah, they looked okay against Tampa Bay.
Damn.
And then yesterday, and then week four against the Commanders, they needed overtime. I think the Eagles win this game. I think the Rams keep it interesting, but I just think the Eagles are going to be too much. This could be the game where we see the Jalen Hurts of last year, because he's been anything but that this year.
Yeah. I agree with that. Ryan had to bounce. I'm going to get his picks within tomorrow. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so he had to bounce. All right, John,
Philly or L.A.?
I can't bring myself to say it.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it, damn it.
You know who I want, damn it. I'm not saying the name. I can't. I already said that name once tonight, and I'm not saying it again.
Take Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. Get it right.
I know what I said.
And I know what I said. And Philadelphia is three outs away from advancing.
Yeah, and they're going to. All right, next on the list, the Jacksonville Jaguars play the Buffalo Bills in London. Buffalo is a 5.5-point favorite. This is tricky. This game's in London. Buffalo is technically the home team, and they have to travel 5.5 hours while Jacksonville is in. Well, Jacksonville is still there.
So they're rested.
Yeah.
That's a tough game to call.
I honestly, guys, want to say that I think Jacksonville's going to pull this one out, so I'm going to go Jags.
Yeah, I'll go Jags, too.
So, Jacksonville, they bounced back nicely against Atlanta last week. Because, to be honest with you, Jacksonville could have beat Kansas City. Like, their defense did everything they could to keep them in that game, but it was the offense that really struggled. And that's been a problem throughout this year.
And Lawrence was solid.
The AFC South is the most intriguing division in all of the NFL because each team, I can make a case for each team winning that game, for winning this division. You know, I look at Buffalo. They made a statement last week. All they heard was, oh, you got a high-octane offense coming to town. Okay. We can score, too. We can play defense, too. And I think they finally turned the page on being a balanced physical football team because they're making it an effort to run the football. But the million-dollar question is, can this sustain when it matters most, which is in January? I just think Buffalo was too much for Jacksonville. I like the Bills here. I think they keep this thing moving.
Okay. All right, next, the Houston Texans take on the Atlanta Falcons. After Houston did what they did against Pittsburgh, give me Houston.
Houston.
This game can go either way because if the Falcons want to get back to their identity and their bread and butter, which is what, Ronnie?
Run the ball with Bijan.
Right, Reed, run the football with Bijan Robinson. Houston has one of the worst run defenses in all of the National Football League. But I trust C.J. Stroud a little more than I trust Desmond Ridder. A lot more, actually. I like Houston on the road.
Yep. Okay. Next on here, we have Carolina taking on Detroit. Detroit is a 9.5-point favorite. Yeah, bite the kneecaps. Give me Detroit.
Detroit.
I like the Lions, too. The Panthers just aren't a good football team right now, and I love this Lions identity. It's what? Run the football, stop the run. All you need from Jared Goff is to control things.
Yep. Next. Tennessee is a 2-point favorite going into Indy. If Derrick Henry has a rushing game like he did last week, they will roll. But I think he will. Give me Tennessee.
Tennessee.
I like the Titans in this one. Usually these games are pretty close between the two, and the Titans always seem to play well in Indianapolis. I think it's going to be hard-hitting. I think it's going to be physical. Last week, I think, was the game where Derrick Henry woke up, and I think that continues on Sunday in a divisional game. I like the Titans as well.
Oh, God. Miami, hopefully they don't put 70 on the Giants.
They probably will.
Miami's an 11-point favorite. Oh, God, just Yeah, all day. Give me Miami.
Miami.
Yeah, Miami bounces back. If there was ever the opportunity for a get-right game, it's against a team who has no type of identity. Offensively, the offensive line for the Giants is absolutely terrible. You saw what they did on Monday night. They gave up 11 sacks. So I could see this Dolphins defense eating, and I could see this Dolphins offense getting back to what we saw at the beginning of the year.
Yep. New Orleans take on New England. New England's a one-point favorite. Both teams were embarrassed last week. I think New England was more embarrassed. I think they're going to try to pull off what they can. Unfortunately, I don't think it's enough. Give me the Saints.
Saints.
Yeah, both offenses are really struggling right now, you guys. You know, the Saints have been doing it with a running game and defense and special teams. I don't think Derek Carr should have played in that game last week. I think they would have been fine with Jameis Winston under center. The Patriots, they're really struggling right now. And I can't put all of the blame on Mac Jones, because what have the Patriots done to necessarily build around him? You see what I'm saying? Like, you got to get him receivers. You got to put him in the best position to win football games, and the Patriots haven't done that. I like the Saints. I think it's going to be low scoring, and I think it's going to be a physical game.
Yeah. So you're going to take – you taking Nollins?
Yeah, I'm taking Nollins.
All right. Baltimore taking on Pittsburgh. Baltimore is a four-point favorite. I still think this is too much. So right now, it looks like Mitch Trubisky is going to be starting in this game. Fortunately, I don't think it's going to be enough. I think Baltimore wins this.
Go ahead, John.
No, you go. I'm trying to this one I'm still mulling it over.
Look, I believe in what the Steelers offense can be with Kenny Pickett. It's the offensive coordinator. I don't trust Ronnie, and I told you this the other day.
Yeah, they need to fire him.
Yeah, they do, because what's the Steelers' identity as a football team? What are the three things they do when everything is clicking on all cylinders?
They run the ball. The defense
can stop the run. And, you know, they get serviceable play from the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Baltimore, I think right now they're the class of the AFC North. You know, they already beat Cincinnati. They just absolutely pummeled the Cleveland Browns last week. I think this is going to be a classic Steelers-Ravens game. It's going to be low scoring. It's going to be hard hitting. It's going to be physical. You know, these teams don't necessarily care for each other. I like the Ravens by a field goal.
Yeah, I guess I will go with the Ravens, I guess.
All right, next. Cincinnati takes on the Cardinals. Cincinnati's a three-point favorite. Hold your nose on this one, boys, because I think this game is going to be a shitstorm. Give me Cincinnati, and I don't like even taking them right now.
Cincinnati, yeah.
I think this is a must-win for Cincinnati, because they have not looked good this year. You know, the running game can't get going. Joe Burrow is a lot more hurt than he's letting on. And Ronnie, what did I say about the Bengals on MEQ the other day? It's time to panic, because they were punched in the mouth in Tennessee. You saw how the Browns punched them in the mouth. They've been held without touchdowns in two of their games this year. And this is an offense that really gets it going when this is an offense that we know can get it going. To be honest with you, I think Joe Burrow's a lot more hurt than he's letting on. But you got to give the kid a lot of props, because he wants to play. Arizona's played a lot better than a lot of people have expected. I like the Bengals, but Arizona's going to play them tough.
Yeah, this game scares me. This is a – if I was betting this game, I'd be holding my nose saying, nope, I'd rather take the under in this game, which is at 45.
Mm-hmm.
I think this game is going to be like a 7-0 game or a 7-3 game. This game is hold your nose and just pray to God. Especially with the fact that Burrow, one wrong move, ruptured Achilles.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he needs to rest. I would rest him in this game, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Speaking of rest, there's no rest for this team. The New York Jets going to Denver. Denver is a 1.5-point favorite. Over-under is 44. If Wilson plays like he did against the Saints, about the Chiefs, we are seeing the Jets roll this game. Give me the Jets.
Yeah, I'll take the Jets.
I like the Jets. I like the Jets in this one. It's going to come down to the Jets' rushing attack because Denver is one of the worst teams when it comes to stopping the run.
So they officially took off the pitch count on Bryce Hall.
He's going to have a career day.
Yeah, I can see that. I want to see what the over-under for his rushing yards is going to be.
Yeah, well, I look at it this way, too, and it's as long as the refs don't fuck us like they did the last week.
Well, they're not a fan of Sean Payton, so we're good. We're good there. All right, speaking of the team that fucked us, Kansas City takes on Minnesota. KC is a 4-point favorite. This is not a this is a 4 o'clock game, which means one thing. Kirk Cousins' magic doesn't work in this one. Give me Kansas City.
Kansas City.
You know, I think Minnesota can make this interesting. There's not a single guy in Kansas City's secondary that can hang with Justin Jefferson. Let's just get that out the way right now. I'll say it again. There's not a single guy on Kansas City secondary that can hang with Justin Jefferson. Like, and I don't think there's a guy that can hang with T.J. Hockenson. I'm going to say this. If I'm the Chiefs, you know who I would go out and try to get, Ronnie?
Who?
Chase Claypool.
Yeah, I saw your post about that.
Yeah, because the Chiefs need a second pass catcher after Travis Kelce in the worst way possible. The Chiefs are going to give up points in this game because their defense just isn't all that strong outside of Chris Jones and maybe Nick Bolton. I like the Chiefs, but Minnesota makes it interesting.
Philly just won.
Wow, Chisholm just fucking ate that.
Yeah, Phillies are on the NLDS now. So that means Phillies are going to face the Braves.
Yep.
The Brewers were eliminated, so who's going to face now?
Arizona's got the Diamondbacks.
Well, Arizona.
Arizona's got the Dodgers.
So the Dodgers in Arizona, Phillies and Braves.
Yep.
Interesting.
Sorry, Christian, what were you saying?
I like the Chiefs, but I have a feeling Minnesota, they're going to play them tough. Because think about it. I think Minnesota's a little bit better than what their record implies because they've been in every game that they've lost. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, they blew the game against Tampa Bay because they just overlooked the Buccaneers. They almost came back against the Philadelphia Eagles. They could have beat the Chargers. Everybody wants to put that last second interception on Kirk Cousins, but nah, that ball ricocheted off the hands of T.J. Hockenson. They did everything to give that game up against Carolina, but they were able to hold on. Like, I think they're going to play Minnesota tough. I mean, Minnesota's going to play Kansas City tough.
Yeah, I know what you meant. All right, going into the Sunday night game, pretty much the game of the night, the game of the week is going to be Dallas-San Francisco. Frisco is a 4-point favorite. Christian, you are reviewing this. What's your keys to it?
Well, I think San Francisco is the best team in the National Football League. You guys, they have more than enough balance on the offensive side of the ball, and Brock Purdy just continues to show why he's good. Did you see his stat line last week? This kid only had one incompletion. I like the weapons that the 49ers have on offense. Christian McCaffrey has taken a ton of pressure off of Deebo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk is their best pure wide receiver because he can get up the field and stretch the field and take the top off your zone. George Kittle, when he's healthy, he's a menace. You still have Deebo Samuel. To be honest with you, Ronnie, I see a little bit of LaDainian Tomlinson and Christian McCaffrey. They kind of have that same skill set, can run it, right? Can run in between the tackles, can bounce it outside, can catch the ball out the backfield. And Christian can also throw for touchdown passes as well, right? Dallas, bounced back nicely after dropping the ball against Arizona. Would have been cool if Dallas was still undefeated at this point, but you know, you can't always have it your way. It comes down to what Dak we see. I can't stress that enough. There's no in-between with the Dallas Cowboys. It's either they're really good or they're catastrophically bad. I preview this one on Friday. Be on the lookout.
John, who you gonna take, Frisco or Dallas?
Give me Frisco. Fuck the Cowgirls.
So there's one thing I also want to say is Christian, if he keeps this up, do you see if McCaffrey can hit 30 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns,
mm-hmm.
does he win MVP?
Absolutely. That's why I said, you know, he reminds me of LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just pulled a four bagger.
Yeah, I mean, no, look, he's not that big, but he's shifty like LaDainian. They kind of have the same skill set as well. You know, guys that can catch the ball, can run the ball, can throw the ball. Right now, I think the two front runners right now for MVP are Christian McCaffrey and Josh Allen.
As much as Allen's doing what he's doing, I think McCaffrey is a more reliable MVP.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's been a different guy since coming to San Francisco.
Yeah,
I just don't think he wanted to be in Charlotte anymore.
No, and all right, and now the Monday night game, which boy, I wish flexing was already happening now. The Green Bay Packers take on the Vegas Raiders. Green Bay is a 1-point favorite in the Death Star. The Death Star rolls. Give me the blackout. Give me Vegas.
Since Ryan's not here, Raider Dave!
Yeah.
I'm taking the Packers. I just don't trust the Raiders right now.
I don't trust the Packers right now.
You're not wrong.
No, this is a shitty Monday night game.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I'll be going to bed early for that game.
I will too. Right after that evening quarterback is posted.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. It's so. There's one news that I want to talk to you, ask you and what your opinion is. What's your thoughts on this Jamal Adams situation?
What happened again?
So he lashed out at a neurologist for taking his helmet away from him because he got kneed in the head by Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Complete accident, but apparently he got rocked so bad that he had a concussion and they took his helmet away.
I mean, I get the emotional aspect of it because this was his first game in a calendar year, you know, and when you want to get out there, man, football is addicting. You want to be out there with your brothers, your adrenaline is rushing and you miss it. You genuinely miss it. But this is for his own good, man, because we have too many guys fainting and we have too many guys suffering these head traumas and down the stretch when, you know, when they're out the league 10 or 15 years, they're diagnosed with CTE, and unfortunately, they took their life. I know he apologized for the rant, but I just think he was, you know, he was highly emotional because it's almost like he hit another roadblock.
Right. I mean, and then he'll probably be off. They don't have a game, so they hit the bye week. So he'll be back next week. It looks like, or in 2 weeks. But there's no other real news.
Because we've got the manager stuff, but we could talk about that next week.
I would wait. I would honestly wait until we can clear up time in Major League Baseball. So almost after, I would say wait until after the playoffs when we actually have all of it.
It's a good point, besides I'm starting to drag a little bit myself now.
News, the Chargers trade J.C. Jackson to Patriots.
Yeah, because they lost Christian Gonzalez.
Oh, he is likely out for the season. That sucks.
Yeah, because he was my favorite right now to win defensive player of the year. I mean,
by the way, I'm still pissed off because the Jets had the chance to get this motherfucker. The Jets passed over him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, we didn't need another quarter. Bullshit, you didn't. If you had two Revis Islands, you'd be fucking, that'd be fucking ridiculous.
He's not a
man guy, but he
he's his own guy.
He's his own guy, but that's even better.
Yeah, depends.
Because you can play, because then you can play cover two over him. Play the safety over him while you have Sauce have nobody on him. So that means you free him up the double team on that side, and Sauce takes care of a guy on his end.
Yeah.
That's dangerous. Like, that would be dangerous, but they passed him up to go after McDonald's. I don't know. It is what it is. Urban Meyer's turned down Michigan State rumors. Good, because they don't want them. McNamara out for the season, torn ACL.
Okay, McNamara?
Yep.
Wow.
NC State benches Armstrong for Morris going into the Marshall game. Tennessee's running back McCoy has surgery to replace displaced fracture on his on his ankle.
Ow.
Yeah, ow. Other than that, that's really it for news.
Should we bring this into the station, gentlemen?
Yeah, Christian, the other thing is, too, is Harden didn't show up in a fat suit at training camp today.
Eh, fuck James Harden.
Yeah, I want them lemon pepper wings, though.
Yeah, did you hear what he said about going back to Houston?
Oh, yeah, that they were going to give him a full-time max contract, and they rescinded it.
Yeah, did you hear why they rescinded it?
No.
Because he said he wants to win a scoring title. He's not a winner.
He's fucking, especially at that
point in his career.
Yeah.
He's not a winner.
Okay. So, last thing before we go, I've said this at the beginning of the show, and I wanted to actually clarify what we meant. New York Giants, quote-unquote star, Evan Neal, right tackle Evan Neal, is being blasted by fans for his comment that he made. And the comments that he made was pretty much insulting the fan base. Is under the microscope recently for his play on the offensive line, 11 sacks, Daniel Jones. Those boos don't sit well for me as a sophomore island. He absolutely blessed. Where is it? Here we go. Why would a lion concern himself with the opinion of a sheep? The people that compliment on my performance, compliment on my performance. What does he do? Flip hot dogs and flip burgers somewhere?
Mm-mm.
No, no, no.
Hold on. Evan Neal, if you ever fucking hear this, which you probably won't, I'll post this even on TikTok, in Instagram, and all the other shit. So if it gets to you, please call me. Dare you. But to say what a lion should consider himself other than the opinion of sheep, those sheep pay for your salary. How do you think Mara and Tish get all that money? It's because they sell PSLs. The fact that Giant Stadium is a fucking ball of fucking nothing, and we couldn't afford a goddamn roof to have the motherfucking Super Bowl in the goddamn stadium. This is not against them. But then you're saying, oh, well, when a front row seat used to cost $70 for Jet Giant games,
and then it got raised up over the course of 20 years to close to $600 fucking dollars. That's 101. That is in the end zone. Let's not talk about what the box seats are. Let's not talk about what 50-yard line is. You're looking in the course of thousands. If you have season tickets, you're paying $20,000 to license a seat. One fucking seat. Then you have to buy the ticket, which is another 10 grand. So that's 30-something thousand dollars right there. And what do? You sit there and bitch about the fans that are booing you because they want you to play well. But yeah, you let up 10 fucking sacks on Daniel Jones. You were on that team that got smoked 40-0 against the Dallas Cowboys.
And you gave up 7 sacks then.
Here's an idea. Say nothing and stop this Miami defense from freaking feasting on your... You want to be a lion? Bitch, they the hyenas. They got to gnaw on your fucking ass. Lions don't do shit. They sit there and feed what the hunters actually bring them. The hyenas are going to feast on your fucking carcasses.
Okay, then.
Shut up. Everyone's like, oh, the whole shut up and dribble. Shut up and block. Protect Daniel Jones, who's making $46 million a year, which, by the way, that looks like a great investment right now. Do your job, because clearly you ain't doing shit. You look like a goddamn turnstile. Here's a better question. Who are you?
You think you know him?
Listen, I'm kind of a savvy person when it comes to offensive linemen because I was one. Who is he? They say he's a right tackle. Okay. Okay. Who are you? Hey, I'm not trying to be a douchebag, but. Christian, you help me out with this one?
Nah, I mean, I think you pretty much hit it on the head.
By the way, if I'm Mara, I fucking cut his ass for those comments. I cut him. And I agree with what Don LaGreca said. He's on the field, you boo him. He's in a grocery store, you boo him. He wins a Super Bowl, you boo him. Because he doesn't care about us. He doesn't care about the fans. He cares about his $1 million fucking contract to block somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Get your head out of the clouds. Your head should be in the clouds. Your head's so far up your ass you can smell what you had for breakfast.
Oh, damn.
Good Lord. On that note.
Oh, trust me. I wish I was done. I want someone to bring in a fucking megaphone to Giant Stadium and fucking just boo. Because that to me is insulting. If any other player does that anywhere else, they would be gone. It's out there now. Oh, he apologized. Doesn't mean shit. It's out there. It's not like the Giants are freaking 4-0. They have one win over an Arizona team that, quite frankly, halfway through was beating them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, bye. Just get cut. Yeah, like Don LaGreca said, cut his ass. Oh, and now, oh, God, and everyone is... Forget piling on. Now there's damage control over this that they're trying to cover it up. What a shock. But, yeah, on that note, I also, like I said, I wanted to say that because I brought that in the beginning of the show about the flipping burger stuff.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but with that being said, let's bring this into the station, boys. If you like what you heard, please go follow us on all social media accounts under the Nerdport Network. Follow us individually on Twitter at F and Ronnie.
At the Zombie Master.
At Daily Blitz underscore 61.
And follow Ryan at Stunkock STL. Join us back here on Wednesday as we dive deep into the good, the bad, and the what the fuck was that? The wild world of sports and sports betting. With everything coming into time, I might start doing our shows here and there, especially with the NBA coming around and NHL.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on really how much I have time. But with that being said, if you like what you heard, please tell your friends. If you didn't like what you hear, I hope you go flip more burgers. And if you don't like what you hear, tell your enemies. But until then, always tell them two things. One, Bobby Bonilla is still getting paid. And two, there's always a teachable moment. And if you don't believe me, well, then that's the fact of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good night.